to me, relationships are like a leash. And
yours didn't go well, right?
No.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Let's start right out. Hey, what happened?
Hi, welcome. Hi, everybody. Hi, welcome to the show. My name is Dean. What a day. Thursdays. Lots to get to today. We had a great trip to go get vaccinated today. We got to get to that. Our boy Chris Sky wants to debate us. Let's get to that. He also released a new video today, his best of. It's really good. Not only that, we're going to talk about the demoralization of an entire industry. We're going to talk about what's next. And we're also going to talk about Jesus a little bit today. Please welcome to the program everybody involved in the show. Lachlan Cross, 95.7 Cruise FM in Edmonton, the host of The Locker Room, James DiFiore, the owner of blackballmedia.ca. He is a researcher, reporter, / journalist, also no hair. Ian McCletchy, at McCletch on Twitter, former broadcaster at TSN 1040 in Vancouver for 15
has
years.
Has lovely hair.
Has incredible hair.
It's very silver, although you can't tell.
As of when? Like, how long have you been unemployed now?
2 months.
Because you just got, everybody got fired.
Two months.
So 2 months you've been out of the game.
Yes.
No
yes.
gas. No nothing.
No.
What do you do for 2 months?
No.
What have you been doing? What do you?
Oh, we're in a lockdown, Dino, so I do not much. Yeah, thank you. Exactly, Lachlan. Too much of that.
Masturbating?
A lot of kids.
Are you doing a lot of masturbating, Ian?
And some of that. And some of that.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Like, because a lot of people don't realize this. When you get fired, like, your entire day disappears. Like, every purpose you had for the reason you woke up in the morning completely fucking disappears, right? So what did you do? Like, give me your first day after, you know, like, first functional day after. Like, did you go, fuck, you know, I'm just going to go drinking at 9 a.m. Why not?
No, I said, fuck it, and I went skiing. Because we got the mountains just north of the city. Yeah, we got three hills.
I thought you meant cocaine.
Is where I went. Yeah, mountains of cocaine, yeah. No, I went skiing. I went outside, and I was like, screw it. And then I had a couple drinks that night, and it was like the most awkward thing the day that it went down, because we were getting calls from a lot of people who I don't really know, which is cool. Like, I always, you know what people say when you die, people say nice things at your funeral.
Same when you get fired.
Yeah, when you get fired, it's like, man, I'm the greatest guy in the world. I had no idea I was so talented. People are phoning and you're like, wow,
I can't believe I got fired.
This is amazing. So the next day, finally,
how could they fire me? I've had 24 phone calls in the last hour.
There's so many people texting me, telling me how great I am. How am I unemployed?
My buddy Dean called from high school.
Dino talked to me.
Talked to him in years. Said I'm a great guy.
James Duthie phoned at like 8 o'clock my time. I was about four drinks deep, and I'm like, it's an Ontario number. I'm like, 416. Hello, Eunice. James Duthie from TSN. I'm like, oh God, I'm hammered. And I just wanted to say, you know, good luck. And I'm like, ham. I'm like, why did I answer? But it was so cool. He did it. But at the same token, I'm like, oh God. But he phoned almost everyone. So you feel pretty cool, but you're also like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah. Well, and there's the story there, right? Like, you know, the story of you just kind of, because the first I had heard that anybody got fired at TSN in Vancouver during that big bell call, Ian McCletchy, who was part of the morning show at TSN in Vancouver, was there for like 15 years, was like, you just turned your radio on and there was like fucking Pat Benatar was playing or something like that.
Oh, yeah, what,
on your way to a doctor's appointment or something.
What's the format now?
The format is Funny 1040. So it's clips of
comedians. Canned comedy better than live radio. That's a great idea.
So it's about 45 seconds of kind of they jump in and then boom, there's the payoff on the joke. And it's just like, oh, it's not good.
Yeah.
But it's cheap. It's super
exactly.
Cheap. There's no one in there.
Exactly.
It runs off a remote. No one.
Okay, so you were there for 15 years? 15 years?
15 years. 15 years.
So when you left.
Well,
fruit tray?
Hold it.
Was there a little celebratory like on your way out? No,
it was no COVID, party? Right? It was COVID. So,
oh, it was COVID's fault.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's we're gonna go have a party when we can, and then I guess maybe a few guys had some stogies later. But honestly, we were like, well, we can't really go anywhere. We can't go get shit faced at 11 in the morning. There's nowhere to go. I guess we could have.
You probably could have figured that one out.
We could have figured it out, but we ended up pretty much going our way. So we're still doing the we'll get shit faced sometime.
Mm-hmm. Next time you get fired, make sure I'm around. I'll take care of where and how we're getting shit faced.
It was a lot of guys the next day after you're texting the guys the next day are like, I got fucking gooned last night. And you're like, oh, so did I. Not with you though, because I was at home because it's COVID. What are you supposed to do?
But I want to know, like, the transition. You leave work, like, did you find out when you were on the air, like, what the fuck? Because it was the weirdest of all the, you know, format flips or mass firings in radio that I've ever heard of. This was the weirdest.
Yeah, we were on air, so we had a 4-hour show, so 6 a.m to 10 a.m Vancouver time, and right as we went to the 9 o'clock break, we get an email. So I'm producing the show, Mike and Jason are the hosts, I'm producing the show. And all of a sudden, I hear Mike and Jason, fuck. And we've just been talking about COVID. And I think the Flyers and Capitals game or something like that have been canceled. And I'm like, what? Did COVID hit the Canucks? They're like, no, man. Check your email. So I checked my email, and sure enough, there's an email like, hey, join us at 9:15 for a conference call about the future 10:40. I'm like, oh, shit, man.
Yeah.
Right away, I'm like, I've been here 15 years. I've never gotten that email. And you kind of know. But you don't know for sure. So we thought maybe we were still on air, right? We're in a break. You can hear the break. If you're in a studio, you can hear what's going on air. And then all of a sudden, of course, all the spots are in automation in the systems that you use. All of a sudden, boom, dead air, stop chain. And I'm like, what's going on here? So naturally, I'm supposed to do my sports update. So I was producing, doing the sports update. I hit next. Nothing runs. Hit next. Nothing runs. Third time, nothing runs. Mike and Jason, what's going on? What's going on? Are we on air? I'm like, I don't know. I don't fucking know. So I replay our intro, which we play at 6 and 9, and the boys are in my ear like, are we on air? I'm like, I don't know. I hope so. And then we start to get texts from people, from listeners. What was that, boys? What was that message we heard? And so I went to the second computer, key up the listen on live, and it was ESPN Radio at that time. And I'm like, we're fucking done. Like, we're fucking done. And I don't remember. I think Mike and Jason came back and actually started the 9 o'clock hour.
They came back and decided to do, you know, continue doing the show as if it was still going on, even though the show, because they still had a job to do. Like, they still felt like, fuck, and we have no idea what's happening. There's something else going through the feed, but we can't just leave. We have to keep doing our job because it's live radio.
Exactly. So there, as far as I recall, they kind of came back and were like, I think we're back on air. We don't know. We're getting messages. And then after I queued up the second computer for ESPN, I'm like, we're done. We're off. And then we get more of the texts like, we heard this weird guy saying to listen at 9:30 for something. And we're like, we're fucking done. And then I start getting the texts from all the coworkers and good times. We did the conference call at 9:15 and we're told we're gone. And boom, 9:30, we're officially on air. It was announced, you know, it's been a great run and stay tuned for what's next on Friday. And that's when they played the Green Day song. Time of Your Life, which official title is Good Riddance, right? Good call, guys. Good call.
You know, the more I hear about all these firings, because I'm not from the radio world, the more I'm like, did they like have a good laugh at how badly they would do this? And because it seems like what they did was just try the worst possible route possible to offend the most people that they could. Like, that's what it felt like.
You know what? When you're blowing up an entire station, that I'll kind of be the not so angry guy about this. I don't know how else you do it. Shy of shutting it down at midnight and then the morning show hosts show up and they're like, sorry, guys, you're not on air. I'm not 100% sure how you do it. Because the night before we had a Canucks game. So what are you going to do? Just be like, sorry, there's no Canucks post game show.
I'll tell you one thing.
The only thing I can think of is when you're not on air. That might be.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing you don't do. You don't play Time of Your Life, Good Riddance from Green Day.
Yeah, right. 2 seconds after you fire everybody.
That's I'll jot that down. And we can review later. But I'm thinking most people are going to fucking agree that that's awful. Yeah. Jesus, mother of...
I want to fuck you like an animal. Goodbye, guys.
So you hear that and you do the conference call, but what's the conference call? Because my understanding was, and correct me if I'm wrong, Ian McClatchy, formerly of TSN 1040, Vancouver, but correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding was that every single person that worked in that building, everybody from the janitor to the fucking general manager to the accountant, everybody, not one single person knew that that was happening. This was a decision that was made in Toronto and they weren't telling anybody and they kind of just took it over like a pirate ship when they made the announcement. Is that factual?
No, it's close, but it's factual. I mean, they took it over. Like they used a different remote line to bring in the ESPN radio.
Right.
There were people that knew. They kept it under wraps. There's always going to be a few people that know. But as far as like the 1040 people and creative and sales,
yeah,
no one had a clue. And again, like I'd love to rant about it, but I don't know that there's any other way. If you're going to shut it down, rightly or wrongly,
yeah,
you got to have secrets. You got to put out the NDAs and people just have to deal with it. Honestly, I've never been. We had maybe 7 or 8, 10 years ago, we had a second station. It was 1410 AM. And at the time it was Talk 1410. So it was like a talk radio station. Their slogan literally was "Life happens. We talk about it." Wasn't super focused, right? but great people working there, right? And they would get us on for like hits.
Hold it. That was the format. Yeah. The whole format was what was it again? What was the slogan?
Talk 1410, the buzz of Vancouver. Yeah. Life happens, we talk about it. So that's okay, bear with me. I think what they were trying to do
was my favorite station. Why? Oh, it's amazing. Talk about life. Why?
They were trying to brand differently than the hardcore news talk station. Right. You don't want to sit and talk to or listen to NW with the hard news. You come to us for softer talk. But it was just really unfocused. But great people working there. And then, of course, they eventually
soft talk. Can you kind of give me a sample of a soft talk?
Let's talk about the seawall. Let's talk about this. I had one of the hosts be like, "Hey, man, I'm a big Yankees fan. Do you want to come in for a Yankees seg?" And I'd be like,
"Not really.
I don't. We yeah, sure, dude." And he wanted to do it weekly, and I'm like,
how about no?
Yankees seg in Vancouver. So it was just, it was very unfocused. But anyways, they blew that up and it was similar, right?
Yeah.
8, 10 o'clock in the morning, everyone comes in and people would have known, but they blew it up.
So are the rest of the staff pissed? Are the rest of the staff pissed still? Yeah. They don't. Because we talked about the whole thing in terms of like when we actually broke it down here. Like I think the minute it happened, it was weird because it was a couple hours after we were podcasting. Right.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it from a perspective of just being business. Like you have to understand trends. You need to know where content is. It's not on television anymore. It's not on the radio anymore. It is on demand. It's on people's phones. That's where you have to make your space. It's social. It's eco. It's everything that you need to build is here because that's the trend. That's where everybody is because it's convenient.
Can we say this
right?
out loud, though? As far as traditional mainstream radio goes, sports has always been, I don't know, pretty easy to sell.
Yeah.
And there's a rabid fan base for it. I don't know. I think it's I think it was a little premature.
I would, Lachlan, I always thought there'd be a spot for sports talk radio because it's exactly what you said. It's rabid. It's local. Where else are you going to get it?
Yeah.
It's 2 hours before a game. Guys want to hear instant talk and they're all in.
Yeah.
I always thought there'd be a spot. We still have a sports radio station in town. Toronto still has two. Right. And there's podcasts up the ass. Like you can get 1,000 podcasts if you want.
Can we be serious about those podcasts? Though?
Well, yeah. I mean, other than the Blundell podcast,
you can have a podcast, but its chances of it being good are not great.
You know what? Anyway. That's the other thing with being let go. Dino, every person I talk to.
Yeah.
So you're going to make a podcast? Like, I mean, man, honestly, there's 100 Canucks podcasts out here and some of them are good. Some of them are whatever, but it's kind of the new thing, but it's not nearly as easy as people think. But to Lachlan's point, I thought for sure there would always be that demand there. And I think there is, but I don't know where it goes.
One of the bigger issues is they sit and they read these hard numbers and they rely on them. And the problem is you need to take a step outside of the numbers and go, okay, let's evaluate the sports fan. Is that asshole saying yes to the company that calls them that wants him to walk around with a pager? Nope, he's not. Unless you give him a free case of beer. So you guys are screwed, right? Because your audience isn't being measured. So it's, and that's a little bit, it's just one of those things in this business that we have to live with. There's pros and cons of being measured. And that's one of the cons. If you're a radio, if you're in a market and you got to think about the guy that says yes to that thing, right? And then you got to go after him. And there are some companies that are really good at putting a broadcast out there and a radio and a format that goes after the type of person that says yes to that thing that they got to carry around to rate those stations. And I'm sorry, typically not sports wired individuals who are more concerned about their sports select and hitting the 7-Eleven on their way. Yeah. Yeah. They're just fucking not going to do it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, they're not.
Yeah. And they're, you know what, that's a process issue, right? And we're talking about process issues with ratings and other issues other than the fact that, you know, the highest rated sports station in Vancouver by far, there were two, TSN 1040 was the biggest.
But I don't think they had hard numbers on what they were.
They didn't pay attention to those numbers because logic in radio dictates if radio segmented, right? You know this. It's segmented into demographics. Yeah. So when you've got a radio demographic that's men 18 to 54, they're hardcore. That radio station, that morning show that Ian was on, was you know top three in that demographic. That's a money demographic. You're going to make money from that regardless. And you're going to find, you should be able to find ways, but that wasn't their concern. Do you know what I mean? It's a statement about the business more than it is about the numbers. It almost has nothing to do with numbers. Like Bell said, we want to get out of the radio business while the getting's good in this capacity where it's, you know, high test personalities, lots of people on the air. It takes a lot to run a sports talk radio station because you've got a ton of people to pay. Maybe the return wasn't there or the profit margin wasn't there. But the bottom line is that was more, nothing to do with whether or not they were successful because they were incredibly successful by the standards of their demographic.
That's weird. Not the way they look at it, Dean. When you're sitting down in an office in Toronto, they're not looking at specific demographics. They're looking at the overall impact that station is having in the market compared to the other radio stations. And that's the problem when you're dealing with an AM format, you're dealing with a sports talk, you're not in the top five adults 25, 54, and you're not able to secure.
But they were, dude. They were.
Were they? Ian, were you?
Debatable. We were waiting for our next ratings to come out because we were getting some pretty good. You can get the daily PPM numbers a day or 2 days after, right? So for a show. And we would get those and it'd be like, hey, man, you were number one today. Hey, you were number two today for, again, men 25 to 54. So we were looking forward to the next ratings. Canucks were playing. I mean, they're not playing right now, but they were playing. So we were like, this might be the one where we start to crack. Yeah. And we never got the chance to get there. Lachlan is right in a lot of ways. I mean, the overall number, you're a bean counter in Toronto. You're going to see a station that out of 18 in Vancouver was 15th.
Mm. Right.
Adult 12 plus, and you're like a two share.
Yeah.
And maybe they don't look at the men 25 to 54, which rightly or wrongly is the rating.
It's a macro view, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also think like I don't want to turn this into a Toronto V, you know, the markets thing. But I think if it's not inside the Toronto market, I don't think they're going to care as much. Like I look at TSN 1050 in Toronto. It's a great show. It's fascinating. I'll catch their 2 o'clock, which is 5 o'clock for you out there when they have Ferraro on. Ray Ferraro is in North Vancouver. And it's an amazing set. It's a great show. Mm-hmm. But you look at the money that's put into that to be on television every time. They got producers, ops, three hosts. They're all in home studios. And I just think in Vancouver, it was like, you know what? They don't have the Canucks rights anymore. Meh. And in Winnipeg, I don't have the Jets rights anymore. Eh, who cares? Hamilton. And I don't think there's an understanding. Hamilton as well, right? I don't think there's an understanding of the craziest thing about this. And I didn't say this earlier, was having guys. I'm 45, right? I got buddies who live down in the valley. Dino Chilliwack, where your brother used to live. So 100 clicks from Vancouver. And they could get TSN there. And I got buddies that are like texting these notes about, hey, man, I listened every day. This was part of my life. Yeah. Like, this is something I did. And that's a cool thing to hear. I mean, it's after everything's done. But that doesn't matter 5,000 kilometers from where we are.
Yeah.
Rightly or wrongly, that doesn't matter. And if they see a ratings out of 18 and they see, you know what, they're 15th and they got a lot of overhead because it's just a labor intensive thing. I understand why it happened. Might not like it, but I understand why someone could look at that and go, you know, we kind of want to push Crave TV. We want to push into these other things. I understand how it happened.
That's what the margins are. Nobody knows. Nobody does because there's that human cost. Yeah.
It's unfortunate that these massive companies with these huge budgets and the answer to the shareholders, they're not in the business of broadcasting.
I was surprised because I know Dean said at the previous show as well that Bell is trying to get out of radio. And I guess I can understand why it's becoming sort of obsolete in the sense of technology has surpassed it. And
all right, let's be careful with words like obsolete.
Sorry, touche.
One of us still needs it.
But what I mean is, I don't understand why. I know they're not visionaries in the creative sense. So I guess I would say that it's surprising to me that they didn't try to take a lot of vehicles, a lot of shows like Ian's, and try to convert those shows into podcasts because they want to get ahead of the curve.
You know right? what, though?
But hold on a second. And the second thing was, I'll just make one quick point and then go ahead. The whole thing about getting the target demo doesn't mean anything if that target demo isn't buying shit from advertisers, right? Like you can have all the, you know, 25 to 55 or whatever it is, the key demos.
If that target demo moves.
That's
a great point, James. You know, the target demo is going to a phone too, right? You know what I mean? Like it's the weird
thing about people in radio, and Ian can back me up on this. They're so
lazy.
I don't know if it's all laziness as much as it's they're in their box. I can't believe how many times I've had conversations with people that have been in broadcasting for 100 years that don't get the podcasting thing is that's a joke. Waste of time. It's kind of like where newspaper.
By the way,
was.
I said that when I was on the radio every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Podcasting's a joke. And they truly believe it, right? Yeah. That's the way their mindset is. So creating a product and it's getting a little bit better, James, but creating something for a podcast after the fact is the furthest thing from their minds. And then
I also think, Lachlan, you have an older demographic, like you were saying, like that tilts a little bit older. I mean, that demographic is as big as the millennials, right? So why wouldn't you cater to them by continuing to give them radio content, right?
Well, again, the other problem is, and Ian's alluded to it, he's being very, very nice about the things that he's saying, but I think the bigger issue is the consolidation of the business and the purchasing of all of, like, they just ate up all the broadcasting in the country. So you got three major companies that just chewed up everything and they own everything. And all their number one purpose is dividends for shareholders at the end of the year. They're not in it for broadcasting. They're not
correct and incorrect. And can I just butt in there for a second?
Yeah,
you're right. But you have to add something else to that equation, and that's the protection of their brand through the control of the narrative by owning the media. That is number one.
Well,
that is numero, dude. They can protect their investment and protect their shareholders and protect the message by owning the media that reports on these very issues. So that is absolutely. And you know how I know this is because I have family members that worked in the industry for these very people for 40 years that tell you that say this is the game plan. This is the strategy. That's how I know.
But they've also stripped it down to a point where there's nobody left. Like there's no one to do any work.
Yeah.
Right. It's so consolidated. Like there's radio stations. I used to work in radio stations where there'd be like four or five producers and there'd be writers and there'd be a news department, man. Now you walk into a radio station, there's two live shows. There's one writer. You got a producer in the back and he's doing like 9 stations and he's like on the edge of a breakdown. Like they are literally anything they can do to cut corners. They're cutting corners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And TV is just starting to go through this now. They're slashing television like they slashed radio in the early 2000s. So by about 2004, 2005, 2006, they just started cutting in radio. Mm-hmm. Like is there a program director in this country that runs one radio station? I don't think so. No. There's like 10 program directors, right? 11, sorry. One's in rehab, and they all just fucking rotate. So when one gets out of rehab, he just goes back into the pool, and then another one goes in. They're all in the middle of a fucking divorce, and they all have gout, and they all have drinking problems. And there's just, like, there's 10 guys. Sorry,
you know what I love about you. I love how you don't vaguely generalize anything. It's like my favorite. It's my favorite how you just shit on the people that you're gonna have to ask for a job one day.
Ian, did your program director have gout? Whoa. I would bet.
I'm not even going.
I bet my car he does.
There's some medical privacy concerns. Yeah, that
I was going to say, look, I'm not a doctor here. I did stay at the Indian.
Did he limp a lot?
He did, actually.
He had gout.
Yeah. Look, here's the deal with the podcast that Lachlan was bringing up. We podcasted everything.
Yeah.
We podcasted show hours, every
it's different, dude.
Interview. It's... But what needed to happen, Dino and Lachlan and James, is TSN or Bell. Rogers with Sportsnet. They need to go. If we're going to have these shows, we're going to put their podcasts on some platform and push that as well, as opposed to just we're pushing the live 4 hours, because that's where it wasn't pushed. Because this is where the media is probably going to podcast and live streams. So the next step is, if you have these shows, you have these stations, find a way to podcast it all. Find a way to also live stream. It's not just over the air radio. You can put a camera in there. Mm-hmm. And you can live stream it. You might have to get an extra person, an extra employee. They might not want to do that. But that's the next step, is push that out there. And right. That was where I thought we needed to get to next with 1040. Clearly, we were let go and that didn't happen. But we were podcasting everything and we were getting decent numbers. Mm-hmm. But it's also, you go down like the rabbit hole, the wormhole. Like, how do you sell that? Because I think there's a lot of people who are like, why would I buy for a podcast? He's got like 9 weed
sponsors. You should have called him. Well,
but that's what I mean. You go down that road, right? And if there's people who are listening who don't like it, you just go, sorry, man.
Yeah.
Like, step up. We used to get that. We would have the odd cannabis shop and people instantly, why are you, like, kids are listening. It's like, really?
Yeah, and that's 45. Does it matter? That's why they won't. But whole, yeah, it does. Because you know what? Why it matters to the people putting out that podcast? Your Bells and your Telluses, or if it's Tellus or whatever, the Shaws, the Choruses, the Rogers. It matters to them because they're going to get an email from somebody and they don't want that. Yeah, and so then it becomes a homogenized thing, right? That in itself is totally different. Because the one thing that I've had to realize is that doing this is incredibly different. It is so much different than doing radio. Radio is so bit and time oriented. None of this is.
Mm-hmm. It's all packaged.
So not only you don't package anything here. You got to segment stuff and you got to, it's way more reading, way more prep, but less regimented, because you've got an hour and a half to 2 hours or wherever the fuck you want to stop to cater what you're doing to those people. You're catering what you're doing to radio people that have radio listening habits, right? So when you take a radio show and you put it into a podcast and segments like that, it doesn't work, because people know it's just a rebroad. Mm-hmm. They know. They're like, I'll just catch up on it later. It's not this appointment listening. So it's incredibly different. This whole fucking world is different. You wrote a great piece about it, actually. And if people want to go and read it, go to deanblundell.com. Ian wrote a piece on his whole thing. It's titled, In My End Is My Beginning. I didn't understand that at first. I'm like, what's in Ian's end?
It's a quote. It's a quote, Dino. In my end is my beginning. Yeah. It's much like Winston Churchill. Yeah, exactly.
It does sound a little sexual, but we can get past that. It
sounds hot.
Yeah, I don't even get that far usually, to be honest with you, Lachlan. Never mind. I'm good.
Me too.
45, you know.
Wait till you're 48. Is this happening right now? What is going on? But you wrote a great post about it, and you were super positive about what's next for the industry, right? You talked about the guys that you were working with, how they went to digital. You talked about some other guys going to, but you know, you're one of very few people that sees, you know, where things are going and doesn't take it personally. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, it's just how it is.
Yeah,
like Lachlan mentioned earlier, that especially with sports fans, they're hardcore, right?
Yeah,
they'll go and find what they have to find. That's why I'm positive that it'll work out. You know, you're a music guy and you don't like what's on whatever this station or that station, you go find your iPod or
traffic,
whatever
finds
it might
a way.
Be.
Traffic you always find finds a way. A way.
Yeah. And with sports, they'll go find people. And what I think we've learned, especially over the past couple of years, is like personalities drive this stuff as well. You like a guy's opinion, you go follow where he is. So he may be let go from the mainstream media, like all my colleagues have been. But if they can start a podcast with some support and some infrastructure, people will go find them.
Now, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a quick question? So the day after, because what happens is when anybody, there's a mass culling like that, everybody, like you said earlier in the podcast, Ian, which is a fucking great point, okay, you're going to start a podcast. So I had a conversation with someone that was let go during that time, and we were talking about it, and they were apoplectic. Like, they fucking couldn't figure out how to start. Do I get a microphone? Do, like, is there software? Do I have to click something? These are lifelong people that have been in the business for 20 years that have no transferable skills whatsoever that are out in the cold going, okay, now what? Right? Yeah. Now what? And that's the fucking sad part, which is why Ian's decided to go and become a certified accountant.
Because I have no skills. No skills. Wow. Like, honestly, none at all.
The calculator game hasn't changed much since
school, I know. Ian. I looked at my resume and I went, oh my God, I'm fucked. But I was thinking for a while, I was going to get out for a while anyway. So, but yeah, you look at your resume and you see all the qualifications that people are looking for. If you do look for a job and you're just like, I have no clue. I'm a 45-year-old white guy with three kids. Like, what, like, who wants me?
Yeah, you are fucked.
I want to do that.
You know who wants a 45-year-old white guy with three kids? He's a 45-year-old woman with four kids.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I dated a girl with three kids too. That was interesting for a bit. You know what? Speaking of conservatives, Dean and the riding we went to high school with in Alberta is the highest conservative every single year, 93% conservative. So maybe I do have a future in that. But yeah, I think back to the original point, people are going to sports guys will find somewhere to go. They'll find something they like, and they'll follow them.
Mm-hmm. I also think you brought up a very good point, and this is something that I think a lot of these companies are not seeing, the strength of a brand for a personality.
It's because they can't control that brand. That's the problem. They'll stay away from those strong individual digital brands because they can't control the brand.
Can you imagine if this show was owned by Bell, how long it would have lasted?
I don't think we've been shitty about the whole thing, though. I don't think we've been shitty about companies. No. I don't think we've been shitty about where we are in the process.
What I mean is, if Bell owned this show, the content that we deliver, they'd be like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? What's cock talk with Locke? We didn't know that was going to be happening.
Did a million and a half page views and like 3 million downloads last month. They'd probably be pretty okay with that, I bet.
Casually add those numbers on the tip of your fingers. 3.5 million page views, 1.5 million streams.
It's in masking tape on
FYI, we're massive.
We're huge.
Who wouldn't want to be with us?
So Ian McClatchy joins us he's the fucking best. Now, do you know why you like him? I'll tell you a little story. I'm holding something in my hand. I'll get to it in just a second. So
I told you to see a doctor about that.
I just did the math. I've known Ian McClatchy for 33 years.
You're dating yourself.
33 years. So I met Ian. This is a fucking great story. And you and I talk about it and I allude to it. We both went to a private evangelical Christian boarding high school.
Fundamentalist.
Called Christian. Prairie High School.
Yep.
My parents were born again. His parents fell into the cult too. Mm. And they're like, fucking family moved there. Like, he took his whole family there because your dad like was like, oh, Jesus Christ is the best. Let's move. And my parents are like,
somebody
Jesus
make
Christ
your
rules.
Clothes back go to at school. The camp.
It was such
people did. People do.
Seriously.
Yeah. Why isn't either of your names Abraham? Like,
what? Well, my middle name, right? You know, his is Ezekiel. Mine's Abraham.
Right.
This is our Christian names. We've both since left the cult, and I'll get into a couple of stories in a second.
Right away with you in burlap pants, I'm going to lose my shit.
Close. This is Ian McClatchy and I in high school. I'm in the 12th grade in this picture. He is in the 11th grade. I'm not sure there were two more dominant athletes in rural Alberta high school sports history, to be honest with you. We won it all, everything.
We reset the picture. Yeah.
This is us.
Short shorts, baby.
Yeah. The dolphin shorts.
Dino's got the wool socks on. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
And as you can see, I'm the captain. He's not. right, Captain? That's what that little thing is there.
Ian also has a strap that's holding his glasses to his head.
He does. Ian not only had the strap that was holding these massive glasses to his head, he had braces that were from like the 30s. His braces were made out of wrought iron. Yeah. Did you have headgear back then? Did you have
thank God I never got the headgear. But those glasses, I had the strap behind them. And when we played volleyball, I got six packed a couple times and they would just burst to pieces. And I'd have to pick them up and just,
You guys look like you guys look like Kevin McHale and Danny Ainge. Look at
I'll be Danny Ainge. He can be Kevin McHale.
Whoever's like on the right is Kevin McHale, for sure.
Oh, fuck you.
Dude, that's Ian. You know he's on the fucking right, dude. Look, I don't know. You can completely tell who's who here for
Christmas. No offense. I'm not trying to be a racist, but you guys look identical in that picture.
Yeah. So this is, we were both like super born-again Christians here. Like, you hated abortion. We had to hate abortion. We had to hate everybody that wasn't a born-again Christian. Yeah. You had to go to church on, how many times a week do we go to church? Like five or six? At least? Well, including chapel, you're talking twice on Sunday. Every day.
Every day was chapel, Sunday service, Sunday evening service.
I had a very different night upbringing.
Prayer meetings, I believe. I don't think I went, but I think my parents went Tuesday nights.
Prayer meetings, youth group, and then his singers. Insane. Yeah.
Were you guys ever the kind of Christians that were like, you really need to talk about the good news? And the good news is Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Like, were you ever like
that? We were in the cult. But here's the funny part. Is that I got kicked out of that school in grade 10 for having sex with a chick who was 22, right? That's when I was 16.
Awesome. He told me this well after the fact. I would have had even more respect for him if I'd known.
Her name was Norma Jean Bailiff. He's in grade 9. I'm in grade 10. Same school. We'd see each other. I knew he was a stud athlete in grade 9. Norma Jean Bailiff. That was
Norma Jean Bailiff. We can't just gloss over Norma Jean here.
Her dad was the dean of men. That was seriously the word of a lie.
You got me out of this Catholic school. Was it Catholic?
No, born again.
No, not Catholic. No, they're not born again Christian. They're not going to heaven.
No, Catholics are not going to heaven either.
This is a fucking Springsteen tune.
It feels like it, right?
You can't. That's the deal with born again Christianity. Is that you had to believe, like we literally had to believe that everyone other than us was going to hell.
Yeah,
everybody.
Literally,
that's the deal. Yeah. Oh, and the gays are no good.
That's true.
Oh, and premarital sex, you get kicked out of school for that, apparently.
But you can be a cannibal, and if you come to Jesus on your deathbed, you're still going to heaven.
Yeah. You could be Hitler. That was what they would teach you, right? They would say this in sermons. If Hitler said the prayer of repentance on his deathbed before he shot himself, he's in heaven.
That's because they killed. Hitler killed Jews, bullshit. and the Christians don't mind when someone kills Jews. Like that's all that
you
is.
You had
like,
to bring up.
Hitler. There we go.
It's true. When I was in Catholic school, the nuns used to say that Jews were all going to hell. They don't like Jews. People who like Jesus a lot don't like Jews at all. So Hitler gets a pass. I'm sure Stalin, if he killed a bunch of Christians, they wouldn't use him as the example, right?
Yeah, probably not. That's a good point. Religion.
Also, I want to know how it was that you got caught fucking Norma Jean Bailiff.
Like, because she told her uncle she was pregnant when she wasn't. And so he was like, really? Or like 16, I thought I was having a kid at 16 because I had sex with a 22-year-old. So I was statutory rape. I was raped.
Plus, somebody saw him in the parking lot of KFC when the car started rolling because she didn't put it in park.
And they kicked me out of grade 10.
It was called... What was it called? Dairy King. That's what
Dairy
we had.
King.
Dairy Queen. We had a Dairy King.
You had a Dairy King. Okay.
History, ball boys. Swiss ball. Oh, wow. School's history. We had never won zones to go to provincials, which
the old
we came
Patrick in. Era.
Yeah. This was signed by Ian McClungy. We rule. We signed this when we were kids. I was 17. He was like 15 or 16, I believe.
Yeah.
Where are you on here? You're on here. I thought I saw your name. Oh, fuck. Now there
goes the story. Yeah. Who else is on there? Name some names.
Andrew Campus, Phil Williams. Oh, so
that's my great
David
tenure.
Rand, Cameron Jansen. Remember David Rand, Cameron Jansen? He liked
David
to sing
Rand. So we would get our laundry done by the school, and we're driving to some
Ian
fucking McClutchy, tournament in Stratford.
1991, 33 years ago, Ian signed that.
David Rand gets his fresh. Do you remember this, Dino? David Rand gets his fresh laundered shirt, and he fucking hangs it outside the van, closes the window. As we're driving down Highway 21 to Strathmore for a tournament, freezes the fucking shit out of it. I just like it. I just like it fresh.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Open the window, pulls it back in. We're just looking at the guy like, you're fucking nuts, man.
Yeah.
But that shit would happen all the time. That's high school, right?
Yeah. So anyway, we have this incredible history that not many people have. Like, who can say that you got 33 years in with a guy that you used to be in a cult with?
Small town, not many. Sports, incredible history.
It's incredible.
There's so many people from Saskatchewan that got into broadcasting, too. It's crazy. It really
is. Alberta.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild.
There's nothing else to do, right?
No. Tried to get my vaccine today, fellas.
Oh, no.
How did that go, Dean?
I was feeling pretty cocky about it, right? Like, I was feeling really cool. Like, I was feeling like, great, I'm going to get my vaccine. Because when you signed up 2 days ago, they said our age group, looked on the thing, hotspot, my postal code, I can go get the vaccine. It was kind of fucking weird because my parents got it like 2 weeks ago, right? Hmm. Anybody here vaccinated? McClutch, you vaccinated? No.
No.
So I signed up for this thing and go through the process. I made an account with my entire address on it, fill out the thing. I qualify, as you can see, right? I was really cocky about the whole thing. I'm like, oh, vaccination appointment booked. Here's your York region. Confirmation.
A lot of people were surprised.
Has been completed. Yeah, I was too. But because my profile had the proper area code or postal code in it, I qualified. So I'm all cocky this morning, right? Like, I'm feeling like $1 million. I'm like, I'm going to get the vaccine today. Going to go in and get the jab. Call my mom this morning. I'm like, guess who's getting the vaccine? Then I drive to the community center to get this vaccine, and I'm like, I'm gonna record a bunch of videos, rub this in the anti-vaxxers' faces. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna rub it in. Here you go. Hey y'all, listen, we got a big vaccination coming here. That's where I'm gonna be going to get vaccinated here in a second. I'll take you through the process so you can see how fucking easy it is to go get inoculated like you've done 13 times in your life prior to this one. Measles, mumps, rubella, whooping cough, whooping polio, all those things. None of they don't exist because you did this. See you in a minute.
So there you go, right? Like, cool guy going to get his back.
I think you're wearing the same shirt that Schwarzenegger and DeVito were in Twins once.
Shut up. Okay, I asked him. I asked him when Sandy and Kanicki were going to show up yesterday because he wore that out of the pod.
It's a grief. It's a windbreaker for Chris. It's a Nike golf windbreaker.
Sure.
So then I not only
Monday,
feeling
Tuesday happy days, Thursday, Friday happy.
Not only feeling plucky that I'm like, once I get in past like the first check-in point, I'm going to start making videos. So I check in, give them my address, my phone number, my driver's license, my health care card. They check. Yeah, you're on the list. Come on in. This is what happened.
We're in. This is what it looks like. Do, 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 do. Pretty orderly shit. Okay. Hand sanitized. 2 seconds to walk in. No trouble at all. I'll be vaccinated in a second.
Feel pretty good.
Did you tell them you're media and that you can take the mic in there and the camera? I'm media coming through.
I've been waiting for somebody to tackle them.
Press in the press.
I'm okay.
See freedom six of press. Six guys running at him with batons.
So then I get to the desk and I give her my stuff and I'm feeling like a fucking vaccine god. Right, like I'm like, look at me again. And the woman goes, "Will you excuse me for a second?" I go, "No problem, babe."
Well, yeah. No, you didn't.
No, I didn't. No, but I'm exaggerating because I, you know, the letdown was significant. So I'm like, "No problem, babe. Guy, you got it." And she comes back with like two supervisors, one female, one giant dude. And they're like, "Hi, can we talk to you for a second?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure. No problem." And so she takes me over to this little area, no more than 6 feet. She was like pretty careful. She's like, "We got a new list this morning and you're not on the hotspot list." I go, "I'm confirmed. I got the confirmation right here. Like you need to have the proper address on your driver's license to be able to make the appointment. You can't even make the appointment unless you are in the area and it's legitimate information and the software tells you, right? They just won't let you make the appointment." But I didn't say that. I just said, okay. And she goes, so you're going to have to come back another time. And I go, okay. And then she goes, please don't freak out.
We had this guy in here.
Please don't
freak out. An Italian bodybuilder was in here just seconds ago. And
yeah. He's used to needles.
We're laughing about it, but isn't this part of the problem that we were talking about the last time we were talking about this on the podcast about how the distribution of this is like, like, yeah, that's actually kind of unbelievable that you would be already there. You pass the checkpoints and they wouldn't just be like, oh, we're going to jab you even though you're on yesterday's list.
Yeah. Doesn't everybody have to get the goddamn thing?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was, but I didn't want to say it. So my theory on how I feel.
That's not the time, though.
This is my confirmation. Couldn't have gotten unless I was in the hot zone. So whatever. And I was so fucking like, I'm really working hard on not being a complete douche for the rest of my life, not being governed by my emotions, not being emotionally advantageous of the situation, not trying to get what I want, but just go with nature. Don't fucking lose your mind. Don't try and force the issue. Just relax. Right.
Dean, you're doing a great job.
Thanks, pal. So I went to as I'm walking out, she says, thank you for not freaking out. And the big guy now is like right behind me because apparently, I guess people must, by the time they get to the door, fucking lose their marbles. And I'm like,
yeah.
I go, it is absolutely not your fault. I really appreciate what you guys are doing here nonetheless. Thank you. And this big guy goes, have a great day. So as I'm like, you too. And I'm seething inside. Like, I'm a bunch of loose ends if I don't control my shit, right? So, like, all I want to do is turn around and take a huge shit in the middle of the sidewalk and tell everybody how I really feel about what just happened to me trying to go be part of the solution. But that's old Dean. Dean 2.0 can't do it. So I begrudgingly made this video, and now this is where I'm at. And I think it's been seen like 12,000 times in the last couple hours. But this was my initial reaction when I left. Keep in mind, I was fairly disappointed at this point.
Just left, got told I can't get my vaccine today because the postal code hot zones have changed from yesterday to today. So they have plenty of vaccines. However, my postal code that was up yesterday is no longer valid today. That has changed. That's why we're here. That's why people are gonna still die. I was super nice, not the lady's fault. But this is the problem with socialist medicine. Still go get your vaccine if you can. And if you get turned away, don't be a fucking prick. Just say thank you and keep moving. Absolutely fucking disappointed. Absolutely.
That's what came out of me when I was at my best. You like when I was like,
socialist
just
medicine.
Relax. Wow. That is the only problem people seem to have with that entire thing. You know how many emails I've gotten from, I'm going to say it, probably feminists, angry ones, not the good ones, angry ones, that are like, oh yeah, socialist medicine, eh? How about you suck my dick? And I'm like, what? The bureaucracy has led to the fact that I couldn't get my, that's really what happened today, right? Something got fucked up, something changed. I get it. I'm not the first guy to get fucked up. Like, everybody's been fucked over during this whole pandemic. But what are we fucking doing here?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? Why? How is it that hard that someone in the demographic that you asked to come in to go get a vaccine, someone actually in the demographic showed up to get it and they're there. And because the postal code has changed, which I'm not even fucking mad about, like, I'm not looking for someone to fucking blame because this probably happened to all kinds of people. I'm not special. I don't deserve to get my vaccine because other people didn't get theirs, or I don't deserve to be, you know, catered to because I'm fucking white, or, you know, I'm not incredibly broke, or, you know, I'm not incredibly desperate. We're all desperate. Everybody's just as fucking desperate as the next. But you said this earlier, Locke, and this is everybody. I'm getting it anyway, probably in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And who knows what happens between now and then? Maybe it's sooner, maybe it's later. So the obstacle was there. There's no need to fucking freak out about the obstacle. But as an example and as an instructional lesson to everybody, that fucking, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? How is it possible that an area code or a postal code, because it doesn't match up anymore from one day to the next, even if it didn't, even if I fucked it up, Even if I lied about where I lived, which you can't on those things, because you have to be able to fucking get through. You can't just make, like, I didn't know what a hot zone was. Just said, put your fucking name in and you might be able to get an appointment if you're in a hot zone, and just put your postal code in. So I did that. So I'm not mad about any of that stuff. What I'm disappointed by, and it's almost like discouraging at this point, is I was there trying to be part of the solution and protect my family like everybody else. And I'm coming back. And those vaccines will still be there. So, and the tons of empty chairs. Like, it was literally a 3-minute thing from the time I got to the door to when I was told I couldn't get my vaccine because there's nobody there.
The worst part about it.
You got to go home. What are we doing?
The worst part about it is they're also, a rumor is they're throwing doses out at night because they're not filling all the spots. I mean, that's, I got into it with Grant and James on the show this morning, because we were talking about this, the expo center. They're setting it up for a mass vaccination thing. And I said, they should just stop with all of the rules to be this, and whether you have this or that, and just parade everybody, just tell everybody, listen, we got 100,000 doses, come and get it. And they're like, well, you got to take care of the people that, yes, you got to take care of the people that might be more at risk right now, right? Mm-hmm. I understand that, but you are protecting them by vaccinating my ass, right? Are we not just taking care of everybody by getting as many people vaccinated as possible? We just, in this country, I don't know if it's happens anywhere else around the world, we can't get out of our own ways. There's just red tape for everything. Yeah. Too many steps. Just take a truck down there, a freezer truck.
On top
truck.
Of incompetence lock. Like, you're not, yeah. You're, the bureaucracy is the impetus for the start of this issue. But on top of the bureaucracy, which doesn't lend itself to expediting any kind of vaccination thing during a pandemic, it just doesn't. That's how we are. That's what socialist medicine gives us. Does it cover us? Is it wonderful? Abso-fucking-lutely. This is one of the big issues. But then you add incompetence on top of that, where yeah. someone was like, oops, new list, you don't count, see you later. Mm-hmm. Right, Jamesy?
The funny part is not funny, but
your microphone doesn't work.
It's so bad that the first two steps of
hey, dude, can you hear me? Jamesy, can you hear me? No.
He can't hear you.
He can't hear me.
He anyway. Lost you.
He's yeah. making he lost points, so.
Can't hear you, Jamesy.
What's going on?
You're making some fucking great
rolling.
Points.
I finally had some good points. Gene finally
yeah, just unplug. Just unplug. Just unplug. Yeah. Can we hear you now?
Can't hear you. Can't hear you.
Lost the charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I lost the charge on this. On
this. Oh, you lost the charge on that. You should have charged
now
it.
I'm
that's
using
okay.
The laptop. Yeah.
Okay. Now we can hear you yell.
Plugs in.
Okay. So no, it doesn't. You got to plug it in. You can't, you got to charge it. Okay. So talk louder. What were you going to say? I love
your
point.
I was just going to say that the bureaucracy is so bad that the first two steps that you had to take to get your vaccination didn't know that you weren't supposed to be on the list. Mm-hmm. It was yeah. the last step that knew. Mm-hmm. So maybe wouldn't it be funny if you found out that that last step was actually like, oh shit, that's for tomorrow. He could have got his vaccine. Like that wouldn't be surprising if that happened. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I'm we're sorry at. That I didn't plug in my headphones before the podcast.
Yeah. It's all right. It's just one of those things. Good news, though, fellas. Good news. I will get vaccinated. And it doesn't really change my perspective. Whoa. Because as I've learned recently, fellas.
Get it in the neck.
I'm going to. Part of me wanted to just walk in, whip my pants down, bend over, and scream, I'm ready.
I'm ready! That could be dangerous.
But no, it's an obstacle, right? Like these are all obstacles. Yeah. What are we learning from them? And that's how I had to frame it today in my mind to not lose my shit, which was, what did I learn from this experience? What I learned is that I'm really happy it happened, to be honest with you, because I had to deal with something that I haven't had to deal with yet during this whole process that a lot of people are dealing with, which is bullshit. It's just the bullshit that you're dealing with, the bureaucracy that you're dealing with, the incompetence that you're dealing with. It's fucking awesome. And it's great to watch. And I wouldn't have had an appreciation for it or been able to handle it properly. Right. And Ian, I know you've got an immunocompromised son. Mm-hmm. Right. And how far are you away? Like, can you not? Where are we at with that in British Columbia?
We're so far behind. I don't have the first clue. I think I'm 2 months away, as far as I know. Luke, my son Luke has a bone marrow issue that he's mostly out of. But yeah, he's a little immunocompromised. So we're assuming that he'll get the shot sometime, even though mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal is with kids. But we haven't heard yet. I haven't heard yet. I just got a text from a buddy who's hearing that we might be going into a lockdown in the next, well, like a 3-week lockdown in the next day or two.
Yeah.
Because it's going crazy based out of Whistler was out of control for a little bit. And it's just obviously the Canucks are getting crushed right now. So
yeah, did I hear that? Did I hear that the Canucks had 25 players and coaches. The whole team has it.
See, the whole team except for a couple guys who had it at the start of the year, and then about three coaches and roster players or taxi players, whatever they're called. Yeah, the entire team got crushed. And it's somehow linked to one case somewhere, and it just spread.
One dude. Wildfire. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Which just shows how crazy it is, which brings to the point, Dino, that if you were there to get your shot, even if it was the wrong day, just give it to him. He's there. Right. He's there anyways. I don't get too worked up about that. If I was in your case, I would be. If I'd already showed up.
Would you have freaked out? Would you guys have freaked out if that happened to you?
No, it's not there.
I want to say that I would have freaked out because I want to be that guy, but I would have done what you did.
Do you know why
I do? I desperately want to be that guy.
Do you know why I didn't freak out? I'll tell you why. Because I'm so tired of watching people do that.
Yeah.
No, I'm just tired of watching people do it. Like,
there's a gray area between freak out and what you did. Right. I would have been in that gray area. I would have been asking for people's names and their positions and their supervisors.
Why?
And I would have been to craft a story out of it.
Okay. Well, I recorded it. You know what I didn't want to be? Because I have this thing. It's called the lotto person. Do you ever get behind someone at a convenience store that's checking 3 years worth of lottery tickets?
Yes. Can you fucking tell you? Hey, they might get lucky.
How many times that
happens? Everybody's like,
$3.
Fuck, I hate that guy. Yeah.
You know who I hate more than those guys? The fucking tellers that won't just be like, we've been here 10 minutes. Let this guy buy his fucking order. Okay. Like,
he's getting a thing of Yoo-Hoo. Let him go.
That guy behind you has cat food. We better take care of him right now.
That guy's got a pack of gum. Ma'am, do you mind taking 3 seconds off? No, I'm on a heater. But those people, I didn't want to be that person. And I also didn't want to be Chris Sky. Like, I didn't want to be someone that caused stress and consternation for people around me that were all there for the same fucking reason, which is they wanted to be part of the solution. They don't want some guy standing there going, I refuse to move unless someone eradicates the issue.
And see what he did there,
Ian? I'm part of the fucking media. I'm the press. I'm the this. I'm the that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to.
That is the worst
be...
Chris Sky impersonation I've ever heard.
The only he one has I've a heard, touch. You have a touch of the voice, though. Just to see her.
I didn't want to be that guy, so I just fucking left. And I said, hey, everybody, this happened. Fucking, it'll happen. You'll get your thing. But inside, I'm going, whose car do I want to take a piss in right now? That's how I felt. I felt like leaving an upper decker at the community center. That's how mad I was.
If we're being sitting honest,
on the sidewalk and pissing in someone's car, you should be dating Johnny Depp, not hosting a podcast.
I probably would have done that.
Amber Dean Blundell.
Because I'm really glad I didn't lose it because Chris Sky, who we've dealt with for the past couple of weeks here. The anti-masker guy, the weightlifter dude, little guy. He's only like 5'6 or 5'5 or something like that. This little fella.
What's wrong with that?
So much bigger.
He's a cute little guy. He's just a cute little dude.
What the fuck is wrong with being 5'6?
Nothing.
I didn't want to touch it. What's wrong with being shorter, Dean? What's
nothing. You and I are 6'3. We both played middle, and we were both forwards for our high school sports teams.
Dean, if it makes you feel any better, sometimes you come off like you're 5'2". Okay.
Thanks, buddy. So Chris Sky, who was put on the no-fly list, we've talked about this guy. He's full-on QAnon. He thinks God speaks to him, and he's part of God's army. Yep. And he's trying to convince people to not get the vaccine, not do the math. He basically just runs around and acts like an asshole for internet clout. That's why he's doing this. Anyway,
if you're
he's agreed-
in God's army, are you allowed to do blow?
No, but yes. I think you can sell it.
Yes, you are.
You can produce it. You can't use it or sell it.
Yeah,
production
yeah.
is okay.
Production
okay. is okay. The Lord okay that.
Yeah, yeah. We learned that in ninth
Thank
grade.
You, let me know that was, that,
that was ninth grade. Drug use and evangelical Christianity.
Yeah.
And then a new video of this guy came out today, Chris Sky. And this is what I didn't want to be. This is him going to Longo's yesterday. This is a freedom fighter. This is him going to Longo's yesterday. In his bio, it says he does stuff like this to bring awareness to the freedoms of Canadians and to protect children. So if you can find me a spot in here where he's doing either of those things, this is him at a local grocery store yesterday.
How about you walk away and leave me alone and mind your own business? How about that? I have a medical condition. That's nice. You cannot touch me. Excuse me. I have a medical condition. I know the law. I know my rights. Society doesn't work like that. You're unbelievable. I'll even buy the Longo's brand. We're going to support Longo's. You guys already have two lawsuits pending. Stop talking. I'm not allowed to talk. I'm sorry. You could stick that right up your ass. Trespass notice. You could use it as toilet paper.
You guys are pretty stupid for this.
You're full of crap.
Can I say anything?
Oh, I don't. Huh?
Cash him out. That's fine. Don't cash me out. Here's the money. What's on their record? We have friggin' witnesses. Do not take my thing and do not touch me.
Literama spicy pee.
Don't ever think about touching me
That's
again.
That's called theft. You know That's that, right? Theft
that I just paid $20 for, eh? I even gave you a tip.
Block talk to you. Have a nice day, everybody. That's how you deal with people that try to break the law, try to intimidate you, and try to bully you. Maple syrup, God. That's what you got to go through when you want to live a normal life.
Was the maple syrup worth it?
Of course, bro. It tastes like freedom. How about you?
You guys amazing,
the
man.
The best
That's
is the
compelling
one,
stuff.
Block talk to you.
Block talk to you. Hey, hey, hey.
Maple syrup tastes like freedom, yo. Jesus.
Liberty.
Little frosted tips. Oh, maple syrup.
Oh, the frosted tips. Jeez, but what kills me is most of the tips are frosted, but there's a patch right about here that he can't frost because his hair is migrating to the back
frosted.
And the front. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. That's so fucking funny.
Jamesy, that guy says God speaks to him.
Yeah, you know,
and
the only time God
army.
Speaks to me, the only time God ever spoke to me was when I was on a large amount of peyote. And that was the only time he ever said anything. And it turns out it was what I thought was an owl, which was actually a teddy bear. So nothing actually spoke. Right? And so imagine God's, okay, you know what? Chances are if God would speak, he would speak to someone like that. Because as we've covered before, God is not a nice human being. He's not a nice deity. He's not going to worship me forever. Christopher Hitchens used to say that heaven, the idea of heaven as it's described by Christians, sounds more like a celestial North Korea.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Bad.
Yeah. It's pretty good, actually.
The Muslims' idea of heaven sounds awesome, with all the virgins and stuff like that. The Christians'
idea of
heaven
sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, because
if you really
want
to have fun having sex, you invite 20 or 70 something virgins over. That's the like that.
I'm not opposed to it.
I can think of worse. So was this guy known before COVID? Did he have a thing going on before? So it's just totally a COVID deal.
I don't know what he does.
Right.
I didn't know about him until this podcast.
Until we started talking about because he's been arrested. So the only reason I talked about him because he got put on a no-fly list. And when he found out he was on the no-fly list, it was him trying to get on an airplane. And they're like, sorry, dude, you're punked. Can't go. And he's like, go fuck yourself. Just like you saw there, right? And I was like, this is incredible. I've never seen someone in real time get labeled a racist. Or sorry, a terrorist. This is incredible. Easy. And he's an admitted racist. Like an absolute admitted racist. He put a Facebook post up, which we've had on this show.
Is that allowed in God's army?
No, I don't believe it is. Okay. All men are created equal under God.
God turns the other
Remember the Amalekites, Jebediah. Remember the Amalekites.
Amalekites.
But that legitimately happened like yesterday. And here's the great part. He challenged us to a debate.
Yeah, but you can't win that. You can't lose it either.
Oh, yeah, you can. No, I've already figured it out. I've already
we'll
got
go
it.
Nowhere.
No,
there's
it will.
No,
trust me.
There's no
I'm good.
Winning.
Yes, there
there's
is
no way
winning.
You're winning.
We're all
yes,
going to lose.
Is winning because
but you're not losing either. It's just going to go in circles.
No, it won't. No, it won't because all you do is – no, you just keep handing them rope. All you do is every question is just another little bit of braided rope. Every question. Yes, it is. So he got back. Yes, it is.
I'm in.
You know, guys, our victory isn't going to be solidified until we get on the same page of what a victory looks like.
That's exactly right. You're going to win. No, you're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Hey, Ian, what are you doing tomorrow? Because I don't know if I'm going to do this podcast.
I'm judging a debate.
It's on Monday. I've told him it's on Monday because he sent me this thing. He's like, because he challenged us to a debate and we're like, sure, like five times and he never responded. So he's like, I'm ready to go live. I'm ready for a live COVID talk with you whenever you're free. At it's Dean Blundell. I would love to go live on my Instagram if you would somehow patch it into your show or send me a link to
he
Zoom. Leaves his email address, which is hilarious. I'll make myself available. So I'm like, hey, Chris, sent you two emails, which I have Monday at 3 p.m. That's when the debate is.
He's stunting. He wants to do something. He's got a somebody sat down, they smoked a bowl, and they came up with some creative idea on how to what they think they're gonna punk you, and that's what this is. I don't want to ruin it because I still want to be involved in it, but there's no winners. No one's Ian's right. You're not winning by having a conversation with this guy. Randy was different. We could bring Randy in, and that's a horrible comparison. I'm sorry if that gets back to you, Randy, because I don't think you're in the same boat as Chris, but Randy was at least willing to have a conversation. This guy doesn't have conversations.
Do you know what? I bet you're wrong about that. There's something surprising about when you approach somebody with like politeness, even if you disagree with them, and civility and all that, it disarms people because the contrast of them acting bananas when everyone else is just trying to have a conversation, that juxtaposition will be too much for people not to notice. I don't think so. I think it's going to be, it might deteriorate by the end, Lachlan. But other than that, you know, I think it might be a good podcast before that.
Let's run it because, through.
Because, you know, I don't think you can go in thinking that there's no way to win, through. Or else why would you have
it? Right, hey, Dino.
Hey, guys, let's practice.
Prove to me that COVID's real. What are you going to say? You're going to be like, well, the Mayo Clinic and Canada Health.
Yeah, but they're run by the WHO.
In order for COVID not to be real. Organization, they're a load of crap. Well, it'll go in circles.
Yeah, no, and I'm hoping it does. And I'm not going to give it the opportunity for it to go in circles, because my concept on how to handle this debate is we take the questions out of my hands and his hands, and we put them in the hands of like a non-biased questionnaire like Jamesy or Locke, and they'll ask a couple of questions. I think the first question that should be asked is tell me everything that you believe. I want to know everything.
I have until Monday to get that t-shirt. Non-bias.
No, but that's the first question. All I want to know is tell me everything you think. Do you believe God talks to you? Tell me more about that. Yep. Tell me, because therein the answer to those questions, you will uncover exactly why you shouldn't take medical advice from this person.
For
that's the
most the
goal
part,
here.
Dean, I've spent quite a bit of time with you now over the last however long we've been doing this.
Yeah.
And for the most part, you have had a relatively solid viewpoint of the world that you live in. Mm-hmm. You're fucking way off base on this one. This is not going to work. It is not going to work.
Define
He's
work.
Nuts.
Define work.
Well, I'm talking about having you can sit down and have a rational conversation, James, with somebody you don't agree with. You can. Mm-hmm. It's possible.
I don't. Isn't a rational conversation, Locke. I'm not expecting a rational conversation, and I'm also not expecting to change his mind.
No. And he probably isn't coming into it thinking he's going to change our minds either. But you can get to a certain point with anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. And you can have a reasonable level conversation with just about anybody. This guy doesn't live in that world. He's right. Not on that plane.
I'm hoping
he's not
going to
get, he's I'm not going to get down.
I'm counting on it.
The thing is if you want to have, I think this platform is designed to have those types of conversations. And that's the problem I have with bringing on this Chris guy. I don't think he has the capacity to do that. But it doesn't matter if we do. He's going to try to turn this into some viral video where he calls us, I don't know, names or something. And,
right.
Beta male is a big one. Yeah. Beta male is a big one that he likes to call me.
But listen,
and other
though,
people
Lachlan.
If we don't agree with this bail. So really, yeah, exactly. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
But the idea that it can't work, I think, is just wrong, because like I said, honestly, like the worst case scenario, what you're talking about is that he comes on, he tries to pull some shenanigans so that he can make a viral video. And the three of us are sitting there being rational and normal and let the monkey play the monkey games. And all that is going to show is that these three sensible people think that the vaccine is a good idea and this monkey doesn't. So
it's not even about that. I don't even think it's about finding out what he thinks about science, because I know he doesn't believe in science. I don't care that I'm happy he doesn't believe in it. I want to have him on because he doesn't believe in science, and I want him to explain it. I want him to make a congruent argument, and I'll share that argument with my – listen, Marcus Aurelius, the greatest emperor in the history of the Roman Empire, once said, hey, if I'm wrong, I'll be happier if I'm wrong if you can help me change my mind and you can present to me the truth. Right.
If only that's someone helped him change his mind when he tried to kill his wife. But go on. Right.
That's unproven.
Yeah.
You got proof from 2,000 years ago that I don't. Let me know. But I'm pretty sure he did kill his wife.
Thanks for pointing out his flaws, James.
But I want to let him explain it, because in the explanation with all of these crazy people, you will find exactly what the problem is. And you know what this is to me? Like this video that we just played. Here it is again.
How about you walk away and leave me alone and mind your own business? How about that? I have a medical condition.
You know what that is to me?
Medical condition.
You know what that is to me? I've in my head, I've removed it from crazy. I've removed it from malicious. I've removed it from stupid. That's unwell. That's a guy that thinks God speaks to him and gives him messages to go and take part in his army. And the army happens to be congregating in the deli section at Longo's.
Well,
you don't need to have a congruent, normal conversation with someone like that. That's clearly using this as an opportunity to be able to gain clout. But I think there's more here. And so part of me, while everybody hates the guy and everybody's shitting on the guy, part of me feels sorry for him. Truly. Because the way that his mind has worked and the way all our minds work when it comes to confirmation bias, is their brain is literally telling them that they're right. Like it's completely random, but his brain, everything he's taken in his whole life has been factored into his decision to be this person. So sort of part of me, yes, this Dean kind of feels sorry for him and goes, something there. Like that's Cam H shit at this point. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So the only reason I wouldn't want to have him on, the reason I wouldn't have him on is because I wouldn't want to take advantage of it if that was the case.
But do you think he really, really means that God's talking to him? Or do you think he's trying to attract people that believe in stuff like that? Because I saw that clip in the grocery store and I was like, that's arrested development. That guy turned 16 and never looked forward, mm-hmm. right? He just stayed the way he was.
Yeah. And right? angry and continued to cope with things the way that he coped with things. Right. But like what part of that? And in the time we live in,
I think he believes God talks to him.
I do too. He says he does. He says he does. So I want to know more, because God used to talk to Ian and I.
Oh, Jesus, I just think he's shit crazy, and he thinks he can get people following him. Simple as that, right?
Yeah, but you had Norma Jean Bailiff as your translator.
It's true.
What
an experience that is when you're 16. You can't believe it's happening. Hmm.
What that's say you don't say.
Father at 15.
So we go to Wendy's after this is done?
You said Arby's wrong.
Or Frosty?
Frosty.
Oh my God. That was fun. Anyway, we'll wait and see if the podcast.
You know, I'm sure if you watch this podcast, the chance of it coming on increased exponentially.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
See, that's where you're wrong, James.
Okay.
You're wrong. It doesn't matter what we say.
Fuck you, James.
Yeah. James, go to hell.
Fuck you.
You're fucking stupid. Okay, go ahead.
No. It wouldn't matter what we say. If he's already decided that he's coming on, he's already got an ulterior motive. He's coming on.
He's going to bring up Dean's shit at the edge. That's what he's going to do. Like, he's going to do something like that. He's going to try to deflect the conversation. Well, I'm just saying. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm saying that's what he's going to try to do. He's going to try to.
You're not going
to
be able to. We're not. None of us are going to be able to predict what a guy that thinks God talks to him is going to be able to do or want to do on this format. Right. But the
I think you're wrong. I think I can predict what's going to happen. Okay. In fact, I can almost make it happen.
Let's write it down.
I'm excited.
Let's put our predictions in escrow and see how it
goes. This is the first time in 10 years. You know, when I was on the radio, I would have these same feelings. Like, I know what that guy is meant for when it comes to me using him for my own ends.
This is different, though. I know exactly what you're talking about.
You're the host of a big time morning show in Edmonton, Alberta. You know when you've got a guest or you've got an idea, yep, and you have worked it in your head, and you think about, okay, we did it with Randy Hillier. I was petrified to talk to Randy Hillier because I was afraid of what I was going to do. Like, I was afraid of my emotional self going, oh yeah, fuck face. What about this? What about this dead person? What about this ventilator? What about all this phlegm? And it dawned on me, like, the morning of that podcast, like, all you have to do is ask questions. Let that person do the rest of it. And within the questions, you're going to find the stuff that we'll be able to sewer them with. That's where I'm at.
This is different.
No, it isn't.
All right. Well, I will be pleasantly surprised if this does not end very badly.
How can it?
Well,
badly on like on a scale from one being me when the Art Lady Peace guy was on to 10 being really well, like the Mike Bullard one. So what is it in between that?
Yeah, this is a fistful of mushrooms.
It's a fistful of mushrooms. This is a Jamesy one.
What a great name for a podcast.
Yeah, fistful of mushrooms. Yeah. I like it.
It'll happen. Jamesy, you've got a podcast coming up with Noam Chomsky.
Unless he watches any of our previous work, then maybe that will just go up.
It's not true. I was thinking about that because you were pissed that we weren't creating these promos with you in them to be able to send to him that were good. Saying smart stuff. No, but hang on. We'll just edit all that stuff in from old podcasts. It's not a big deal. I was just thinking about that. We'll create a B-roll for you where you said smart stuff that wasn't, you know, completely overtaken or overcrowded by Lachlan or myself. And
or my own mouth, right.
Send him a promo of James talking with his mic not working. Thank you for joining this professional broadcast.
The fucking shit I'm talking about right there. Okay? You're adding to the pile, my friend.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I was afraid that you were going to send that that joke that apparently crossed the line about my wife driving me all around anywhere and her not mastering the art of fellatio while she drives me around everywhere. And I was like, oh my God. I've just asked him to make more promo clips so that my show can do well when it launches because Noam Chomsky's on, and he's just going to create these promos, and it's all going to be blowjob jokes and shit talk and cock talk with Locke and fuck and all this shit. And I'm just like, there's no way an assistant is not going to be like, Professor Chomsky, are you sure you want to talk about this person? He talks a lot about penises and sex and feces, and it's just terrible.
You look, you know, this is going to be, by the way, look, you just nailed the next promo. By the way,
he looks exactly
radio hijinks doesn't belong in podcasting.
He also sounds and looks a lot like the house elf from Harry Potter when he
my cat's name is Dobby. Not only that, but you know why I picked May the 4th?
Why?
Star Wars Day,
and I've dubbed him the Yoda of progressive politics.
Okay, well, and you're worried about a blowjob joke?
He's old and he's smart, and I just thought it made sense. I don't know.
Well, you know, dude, he's going to do the interview, and you still have like 100 things to do before you get to the interview. Like, you got to pick a name for your podcast, that kind of stuff.
Black Bald.
Okay, that's a good one.
I think the conversation should revolve around whether or not he's going to be alive by that.
Noam Chomsky? Oh, he'll be alive. Dude, he's 91, but here's the thing.
Wouldn't it be great if I was the last man in the universe? Wouldn't it be late if I was the great if I was the last guy to interview him? I mean, aside from the fact that he'd be dead. But if he did have to go, it'd be great if it was May 5th. Just saying.
Noam Chomsky on the blackballedmedia.ca.
That's going to secure that interview. No problem. Right there.
Guess what the next promo is?
I guarantee it. The last interview before he dies.
We're going to, you know what we're going to do? We're send you the promo and say, yeah, it's totally cool, but don't look at it. Yeah. Send it to him. And it's going to be you going,
I'm wishing
I hope he
it.
Dies May 5th. Oh,
trust me.
Not that I'm hoping for it, but wouldn't it be great? Yeah.
I like jokes more than I like securing interviews. It's fucked. It's clear now.
Yeah, you're good. Anyway, busy day. Thanks, guys, for doing this. Ian McClatchy, who, as luck would have it, is also now a contributor here at DeanBlundell.com. Yes. Check out some of his stuff, including his bit about getting fired and being nice to everybody, which was really judicious of you. It was super nice. Thank you. And he'll be covering some, you know, Vancouver Canucks COVID stuff. Hopefully they all make it, because that's a fucking serious deal. That's bizarre.
They're
all
really sick too.
Players. Yeah. Yep.
They've got the Brazilian strain, Dean. And apparently, well, one, it's way more infectious, which I think you already knew that. The infection rate is quite a bit higher than the COVID we've been dealing with over the last year. And it's also much more infectious than the UK strain, which is the one that's like running rampant through the States right now. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, people are getting sicker, and they're getting, the mortality rate isn't climbing per se right now, at least in Canada, with the Brazilian strain, from what I've heard. And I could be wrong on that, and the numbers are early on it. But people are getting sicker from what I've heard, and it doesn't matter how old you are either. You're 25, 35, whatever, you can come down with some pretty severe symptoms, right?
Yeah. I heard too, one of the symptoms, how you know the variants, if you get the Brazil variant, all your pubic hair falls off.
Mm. I have heard that too.
What a horrible thing. It would just be earth shattering to have that happen. Now I'll know.
Less razor burn.
Yeah.
So there are some positives to getting it, then, is what you're saying. Well, it's a
clean taint.
Yeah. Your gooch, you'll be sick for a bit, but your gooch will never feel softer.
Yeah. I know it's horrible now, son, but in a couple weeks, your wife will.
Man, your asshole is clean as a whistle after you get better. It's incredible.
Want to weigh in next, for the promo, James?
Next to a Brazilian, wax. Next to a Brazilian wax is probably pretty good.
Next week on the show, Noam Chomsky will join us, and James will be the host of that show. Thank you, James.
Listen, I wear many hats, and one of them doesn't include cock jokes, and that's the one I will wear to that interview.
But thanks to Ian for joining us on the podcast. I think he's going to jump on with the PP1 guys today, if I'm not mistaken, as well. Tonight. Yeah, talk.
11 Canucks o'clock talk. Your time.
11 o'clock our time? Okay, at DeanBlundell.com. James DeFiore at Blackball Media, blackballmedia.ca. James DeFiore on Twitter, at James DeFiore on Twitter. Really appreciate you being here.
No worries. Thank you, Dean.
Yeah, no problem, pal. Charge that. Charge those headphones. Hey?
I'm back to the pandas for a second.
I can see that. Yeah. You jimmied it. Good work. Yeah. Lachlan Cross, at Lachlan Cross on Twitter. You can find him at 95.7 Cruise FM.
It was nice meeting you, Ian.
You too.
That was a lot of fun, my friend.
We'll talk to you guys all soon. Really appreciate y'all being here. Thank you. There you go. The boys for another table, another round table, another DBS, if you will. It's nice to see everybody. Not often do you get to talk to a guy that you've known since the ninth grade. When you're in your late 40s, it's not bad. Maybe one of the greatest people you'll ever meet, too. Sincerely. He is. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And thanks for being part of the podcast. Don't forget, you can download all of our podcasts, pretty much everyone we've done, wherever you get your fine podcasts, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, etc. And don't forget to sign up, subscribe at the Dean Blundell Show on YouTube. Just type in Dean Blundell Show on YouTube. Go and subscribe. That's where you can watch this stuff and catch all of our stuff that we've done so far. It's all there. You can go check it out if you like. If not, that's fine, too. On Twitch, Dean Blundell TV on Twitch, at It's Dean Blundell on Twitter, D Blundell Net. On Twitter as well, Instagram, Dean Blundell Show on Instagram, all that stuff. Just you'll see it, you'll find it, subscribe, we'll have some fun, we'll send you things, funny videos, information about anti-maskers going nuts, trying to buy fucking syrup. One of 35 different podcasts as well, DeanBlundell.com. Thanks to our sponsors, including Blue Microphones. Blue Microphones, at Blue Microphones on Twitter, or BlueMic.com. Go there today. I use the Yeti X and the MoFi headphones. You can use the same ones by going to them and saying, hey, I want that too, because I want to sound like I know what I'm doing. It's different. You can kind of sound, you need to sound like you know what you're doing, even if you don't. Clearly we don't, but at least we sound good. Thanks to our friends at Blue Microphones. Again, at Blue Microphones, the official microphone of DeanBlundell.com. Gitch, Ed's Gitch. That's all you need to do is go to edsfineimports.com if you need underwear. He has the best underwear you've ever put on your body. Luxurious underpants, as I like to call them. Boxer briefs every day, all day. Pouch in the front, super soft, super cushiony as well. That's what they look like. That's me on the back, getting ready to do a sprint. I was just modeling that day. Not a big deal. Pretty easy to do. I just had to put on some Lycra. But I wear these all the time, and you should too. And if you want and you need underwear and you're heading into lockdown, which we are, everybody, he'll send them to you. Edsfineimports.com. The promo code is GITCH3.
Gitch, and then the number three, and you get four pairs for the price of three. Ed's fineimports.com. His Gitch are the best. Domination, our software partner, AI, that helps you create, helps you make stuff, including promos, commercials, videos, anything you need to do to be in this world. If you're a content person, you can't miss. Try it for free, DMNTN.com. Do it today. Ah, Black Rose Organics. Tomorrow we'll have a little chat about how you can get your hands on some of that stuff. 30%, no problem. 30% garlic sherbet, no problem. Way less than everybody else tries. Yeah, no problem. Medical license, yeah, you're in. Subscription, they got that too. We'll blow the doors off and talk to our friends, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of the things that we're doing with BlackRoseOrganics.com, the official cannabis partner of DeanBlundell.com, tomorrow right here on this very show. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Ian, Locke, and James for making time today. We'll see you tomorrow on this very program. Try and stay safe. Don't freak out. Try the meatloaf. Bye.